Well, let's just kick it off, yeah?
Yeah.
Without little fucking Mo.
Man. It makes me worried about him, because this is the only thing that, like, people with drug problems do. We could call him on his phone. It's free.
Hotspot.
Hello and welcome to the season finale of Pods Pod, episode 17. Let's get right into it. We got Yoshi.
Yoshi!
Hey.
What's going on? What's all that racket, Yoshi?
Something fell. I don't know.
Manny.
Yeah.
Howdy. How y'all doing?
Good.
All right. It's the end of the season, guys. This is our last episode. We'll be back next season and hopefully with some winter episodes if something interesting happens. But this is it for the season. It's been a crazy ride. We started off, we struggled, we found our stride, and then we kind of took some breaks. But overall, I think a strong first season. How do you guys feel about the first season of Pods Pod?
Of Podders or Pods Pod?
Just Pods Pod. Just Pods Pod.
Oh, dude. Amazing, man. Hit a grand slam.
I agree.
Best podcast out there. Podcast? Yeah, best podcast out there.
I think we're so popular that they're changing the name of podcasts to podpads. I'm happy with it. We should make one of those. You ever listen to Jim Rome? And at the end of the week, they do those compilations of the week that was and all the quick cuts of all the highlights of the season. Maybe we can put out one of those to keep the listener to wet their whistle during the long off season. But anyways,
yeah, I know. I actually really did think about doing that for today.
Mm-hmm.
But then that would mean that I'd have to go back and listen to listen to all the past episodes. And
when we first started, I used to listen to all the episodes before I uploaded them to the website, just to make sure that everything was like okay. And now I listen to like the first 30 seconds, can't even stand it, and just put it up. So that tells you something. But
I don't think we have listeners anymore.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I've almost completely stopped interacting on Twitter just because just got kind of depressing. I just didn't have much to say anymore. But hopefully that'll change. And hopefully we still have one listener who can reignite the fire. Anyways, we'll save him for the end. Lil Mo's not with us, and we'll be addressing that issue at the end of the show. But let's get going. So, Yosh, you went to the final game today, the final home game, excuse me, the shirts off their back game. We won that game, correct? 3-1?
Yes.
How'd it go down? How'd we pitch? How'd Kennedy pitch? How'd we score? Final thoughts on the game itself before we talk about the shirts off their back issue.
Kennedy surprisingly looked pretty good. I don't know. I don't remember how many innings he lasted. I think it was 6. But, you know, that's typical Kennedy. As soon as he starts hitting about the 75-80 pitch mark, then he starts kind of losing it.
Yeah, none of our starters have been going very deep.
Yeah. What's his name? Right fielder. Jankowski. He looked pretty good out there. Made a nice throw to home. Still not convinced with him, though. Spangenberg looked pretty good. And, I mean, it wasn't like this super exciting game, but the crowd was pretty into it. So that was nice. I also sat in a different section this time. So
why?
Were you sitting down at field level?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, because, you know, I was kind of hoping Kemp wouldn't have gotten hurt and would have seen him play a little bit more, but, you know, just my luck. He's hurt.
Did you buy those field tickets, or how did that work out?
Yeah, I bought them. Well, I took my mom. I'm like, well, we're just going to go sit down in field, and they had some. And we had pretty much the road to ourselves, so that was nice.
Pretty small crowd.
So people didn't...
I don't think they said the attendance today. And if they did, I wasn't paying attention. They gave the season total.
Which was?
It's like 2,400,000 something, I think.
Mm.
And yeah, no, I just decided and I'm going to upgrade my tickets for next year. So I was kind of also checking out if I like that section, which I do, but I don't know if I'd like day games there.
Is your change of seating based on the deal with the All-Star game, or is that strictly is related to the number of games you choose, right? Like the 20 game package doesn't get All-Star consideration, right? But the seating itself doesn't have anything to do with that.
No, the seating itself doesn't. So I haven't upgraded yet, but I'm going to upgrade to the 40 for the All-Star game. And I'm switching just because they added that suite behind my seats and then the little stools. I don't know if it's suites or I don't know if you can just individually buy them. But that whole mix up there, I don't really like. So I'm thinking of just moving them somewhere else, which I like those seats, but there's no shade.
What's the deal with the stools and the suite? Is there just too many jabronis like being annoying or something, or what is it that bothers you?
No, it's just whatever seats. I mean, this is what it seemed like to me, but whatever seats are not used that game, then those people that have the wristband for that suite that's behind my seats, they can sit anywhere in those seats there. And so I don't really like it because they're constantly getting up to go get food up in their suite or drinks or whatever. And it's just a constant moving. And it gets really annoying because people don't have baseball etiquette and realize that when there's at bat, you should wait. So they're just constantly getting up and it's just not the same little atmosphere. And I was actually even talking to the lady that's had her seats since, I don't know how long she's had them, but since I've been there, she's been there. And she was actually saying that she might not renew. And if she does renew, she might also change her seats. But I don't know if it's the same reason or what her reasoning behind it would be.
Yeah, you hear that, Mike D?
Hey, fuck you, mate!
You hear what the cost of your capitalist agenda is?
Fuck you.
You know? Protect the true fans.
Fuck you.
You're making Yoshi spend give you more money, so stop doing that.
Yeah.
Mike D doesn't give a fuck.
No. That fool. Do you think... do you think Mike D is as wicked as AJ? Like, do you think he's as into as nefarious of endeavors as AJ is, or is he just a greedy capitalist, or is he Like, what's his deal?
He is scary looking. Like, he looks like the type to put a hit on his wife if it means, you know, if it benefits him in some type of financial way. But we can speak on, I mean, we do have a buddy who met with Mike D, interviewed with Mike D, in Pistol Pete. Like, he spent a good amount of time with Mike D. And Mike D was basically trying to convince him to work for him. And his takeaway from it was, what Pete said was, I can't put my finger on what it is, but that guy is weird. Like, there's something weird about him.
Hmm.
Was what he came away with.
He has a creepy smile.
It might just, maybe it's just that. It might just be that he's just a kind of weird, scary looking type of guy.
Well, I mean, I would take something from that. You know, we can't reveal his exact position because we'd probably get him fired. But I mean, he meets with tons of business people on a daily basis. And if he comes away from a meeting like that and says, "Well, that guy was weird," there's probably something to that. I mean, but yeah, like
I mean, I don't think we could. I mean, we could say, so. So basically, he's pretty much like a hired hitman. he's the guy that they send down to South America or the Caribbean to tell players either come play for us or, you know, we know where your kids go to school.
And he thought Mike D was weird, so take from that what you will. Yoshi, before we move on to the next subject, I think we were talking about, or at least I had thought, when I heard you're going to be at this game, about the kind of ovation like the players would get at the end of the game. Was there any kind of outpouring of love for the boys at the end, or was it kind of pretty nonchalant, or how did the whole season end for the fans, and how were the interactions with the players?
It was a little bit of both. I think, you know, those in field near the first base and behind home plate, they, once the players finished the shirts off their back and they started walking back to the dugout, they started, you know, giving them a little ovation, clapping. Some of the players just kind of waved like, thank you, and that was it. A lot of fans waited.
But this was, you're saying that at the field level, like it wasn't like the ballpark.
No, the ballpark. No, I didn't notice many people aside from like that section that I mentioned still there. So
you've been to other final home days, like last home game.
Oh yeah, I go every season as the last one.
Did it feel any different or just kind of the same as any other?
Kind of the same. Unless, you know, if it's a winning season, then it's right. Totally different atmosphere. But, you know, after this season.
Yeah.
I think a lot of them were kind of like, all right, bye, good riddance.
I mean, I think to be, fans who are there, I mean, to go to that game, you know, potentially says something about you as a fan, but yeah, I mean, and this was this day right. game on a Thursday. Yeah, I mean, I guess I would imagine most of the fans there are a little bit more of the loyal fans.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's interesting that even then it sounds like it was kind of like a just, you know, any other game.
Yeah, because I've been to other games, but also the shirts off their back was different this year. I don't know if it was because they were heading on up to LA and they're leaving tonight and they had to go, or why the reason behind it was. So there wasn't, except for one player, they just pretty much just kind of waved like thank you and then went in, and that was it. Other times more players I've seen weigh and sign autographs and take pictures and whatnot.
Who was the one player?
Cody Decker.
Oh man, what a depressing season.
Yeah, that kind of sums it up, huh?
Yeah.
The one guy knows he's not coming back. So yeah,
the guy who wants to make the most of his 2 weeks in the major leagues is the only one that's out there. That's sad.
And he was out there for a good amount of time too.
Man. Maybe it says something to what, you know, what various players, Shields, Jerko, and multiple players have confirmed, is that there's just a total lack of chemistry on the team. I mean, you know, if you're in the trenches with your boys and you give your all, and you know, damn, you know, we didn't do it, you know, you'd feel like, you know, if there was some camaraderie on the team, maybe there would have been a kind of a different atmosphere, even though it wasn't a good season. But I don't know. That's depressing. Actually, that's made me more sad about the season than almost anything else. Just hearing that.
Yeah,
I agree. It was a different feel than other, like, last home games of the season that I've been to.
Oh, so it did feel different.
It did feel a little different, like the end. I mean, I don't know if I'm assuming they're taking their bus up to LA tonight. I'm just assuming. So I'm wondering maybe if I should have gone to where their parking is and seen if players, as they were coming out, if they were signing autographs and doing the whole thing out there. But I mean, I don't know who would have actually gone out there.
I mean, I feel like that's got to be, you know, like you as an organization, and I have no idea who is supposed to plan for this, who's supposed to organize for this, whether this is on Murphy or D or AJ or somebody that we don't even know their name, but like, you tell your fucking players, like, you know, like, be out there, the bus ain't leaving until whatever time, like, you guys are gonna spend an hour out there, and I mean, the fact that didn't happen, you know, I don't, like I said, I don't know who to blame for that. I don't know if you can put it on individual players, but it should be a mandate from someone above them that's like, look, you guys are gonna be out there for 45 minutes interacting with fans and fake the smile and do whatever you have to do. If you're not happy, it doesn't matter. Like, I think that's bullshit.
I agree. I think, you know what, these fans have been here through this crappy, disappointing season. You're out there, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just looking at, like, so unless we sweep the Dodgers, we're going to have a worse wet record than last year. We've got less than a 300,000 fan improvement from the previous year. We spent $30 million more and brought in arguably two of the biggest outfielders in the game onto the team. Had an unveiling at the beginning of the season with these five new players that we're going to bring in. All of this was done to bring the fans in, and then at the end of the season, you know, you can't reward those people who stuck with you despite the fact that you didn't deliver on all this, on all the hype. Like, that makes me mad, man. I might quit the podcast right now.
Well, I mean, no, if anything, this podcast is the only good thing the Padres have going.
That's a good point.
But yeah, no, but that is weird. That is weird, more just from a, from a business standpoint. You know, you're trying to preserve basically all of you guys who stuck around. You want to make sure that sector of the fan base sticks around next season, despite this failure of a season. You would think that it only makes business sense
to force your play. So it wouldn't be. It's not. I don't put it on the players. I don't put it on. You know, it's not the manager. It's, and I don't even know if. I guess you can say it could be Mike D. Or, but you know, there's someone in charge of. I don't know, like public relations or something. I mean, whatever. Something along those lines. That's strange. It's been like this every other season, Yosh? Like previous seasons, like the players never stick around and.
No, I've seen a few stick around and sign more than one player.
So it's always it's always seems like something that's like, just optional.
Yeah, but they did that thing, the shirts off their backs, differently. Before, they used to call each player's name, like, you know, they start from number one to the highest number, and they would, and whoever had that player, they would go get their shirt signed, take pictures, whatever. This year it was like, all right, here's your players, go to your player, get your autograph, your picture, and see ya. So it was different. Yeah. And I don't know why that was, and if that caused it to be a little different for the signing. But I have seen other players in previous seasons stick around and sign more autographs. Not that many players, but
Venable, I'm sure, was out there.
I'm almost sure I think he was.
Yeah, if he wasn't there, he was in the clubhouse, like meeting with like an orphan or something. Well, that sucks. That's depressing. Yeah, something should change about that. Yeah, I don't want to talk about that anymore. That makes me sad.
What's up? But what? Who'd Cody Decker invite to the game?
Was
his hot girlfriend there?
His girlfriend was there. With her Fuchi face, her stinky face. She just looked like she was not enjoying life. She cracked a smile or two, but as she was talking to someone.
Was she on the field with him?
She was. He was by the, I think it was like near, a little to the right of the dugout, I think. And she went down there. And he called some two older men. I don't know. His grandpa, I don't know who it was, hugged them, and then she came down. But he was taking pictures with kids. Like, I think most of the autographs he gave were to kids. And she just looked annoyed because she was waiting and waiting. And I think she probably got annoyed that these little kids are taking my turn to be with him. I don't know. She just looked like she was just not enjoying life. And even my mom said, she's like, look at her face. Like, what's wrong with her? And then he was talking to her, and then he gave her a kiss, and she just looked like, I'm going to kiss you just because I have to. Like, I do not want to do this. And then she just went back up and took off.
She probably, like, had something, like, her girlfriends were going to go shopping at Nordstrom or something. She was probably pissed that he probably like made her feel guilty about like, hey, come on, like my last game, blah, blah, and she didn't really want to go, and then she was, it made her all the more pissed like that he didn't even play.
Yeah.
And so she was feeling like, dude, like you didn't even play, and like you're making me come to this.
That's exactly what my mom said. She said they probably got in a fight. She probably was forced to come. She was with some dudes too. I don't know.
Shit.
Yeah, she was like,
she probably just was like, Cody, like you need to just quit the team. Like if they're not gonna play you, then you just need to quit. And he's just like, you know, like babe, like that's not how it works. Like this is the opportunity of a lifetime. And she's like, you just don't listen, you know. And whatever the case is, man, like starting with Pat Murphy, not that I think he's gonna be here next season, but maybe we just need to send all of the Padres players and and management to fucking to PR camp or something. Learn how to treat your fans. And Cody Decker's bitch ass girlfriend go too.
Well, Cody Decker can. He can lead it. He can lead the class on this.
That's what he should get. Yeah. So sorry, Cody. I didn't mean to call your girlfriend. I didn't mean that. But he should lead the camp. I love Cody. Yoshi, do you feel any different about Cody at this point? You've never been a big Cody fan, although me and Manny have urged you to try to see the light.
I saw a little bit of the light. I like him a little bit now. Mostly because once they had the September call-ups and he did it, I was like, oh, poor guy. Then they called him up and he has yet to do something. So now I feel even worse for him.
Man, it'll be one of the saddest stories. One of the saddest stories in Major League history, I think, if this guy who has this prolific home run record in the minor leagues, waits 7 years to come up, comes up, gets like, you know, who knows at the end, but gets 10 at bats and goes over 10 and never gets back to the major leagues. That will literally be, I think, one of the saddest stories in major league history. I hope that doesn't happen.
It'll be even more sad if, you know, because he's looking to Hollywood next. And, you know, the furthest that he's going to go is going to be the very minimal, like, spots on, like, low budget random commercials. Yeah. And that's it. Yeah. Like, that's going to be that's his career.
Keith Olbermann fucking loves that guy, man.
Yeah, he does.
Like, when they called him up, he rambled off like 7 tweets in a row about Cody Decker, and he hates the Padres for a bunch of reasons. But one of them is the fact that Cody Decker has spent so many years in our minor league system without a call up, and he was just like, this is another example of why the Padres are never going to win. It's like, really? Like, Cody Decker in the minor leagues is an example of, I mean, you know, you can pick out a lot of organizational examples of why we may never win, but Cody Decker is not one of them. It's really interesting that a guy like Keith Olbermann is such a fucking pro Decker guy. Because it seems like those two egos would clash, but I don't know.
I tripped out on that too. I didn't realize he was, which makes me like Olbermann more.
Yeah, but it also makes me think he's weird. A fucking weirdo.
Yeah,
which he is. But all right, Yosh, thanks for the that was a damn thorough final game update for us. Thank you. Interesting stuff.
Without a single talk of the actual game.
Yeah.
Putz,
putz, putz, putz, putz, putz, putz, putz, putz. Are you living a lie? Do you fucking hate yourself? Did Jesus accidentally give you a penis and you hate it? Are you sure that Jesus really meant to give you a pussy instead? Well, it's time to become the real you, and I can make it happen.
I used to always hate my dick. It was so big and ugly. It just never felt right on my body. And just because of my anatomy, society always expected me to conform to gender roles and like things like monster trucks and buffalo wings. But deep down inside, I've always wanted to just watch Sex and the City and wear yoga pants, complain about boys and my girlfriends, you know, fun things like that. You see, the reason I was so miserable was because even though I had a penis, like a typical male, I've always had what gender scholars refer to as vagina brain slash soul, meaning that despite my penis on the outside, I actually have the mind and soul of a female on the inside. Thankfully, I found Dr. Nguyen, San Diego's best cosmetic and sex reassignment surgeon, to make my identity right.
Yeah. Robert have a vagina brain slash soul. Inside, outside, no good, no match. He no like big dick. He come see me, he pay me money, and we say bye-bye wee-wee, and I rescue him. I rip it off and I take out all vagina, put it in, bam, so easy. Robert girl now, just like he's supposed to be. For small feet, I even give her belly piercing, tattoo, butterfly, right above the booty. Just like real girl.
Yeah, but it was just my penis that didn't feel natural. I didn't want to get rid of my testicles too because, well, I really like scratching them. Thankfully, Dr. Nguyen was the only surgeon who was willing to customize to my exact needs.
Yeah, no problem. I whip out testicles and think, huh, what do I do with this? I know, I put them on Robert's chest, duh. I take some nipples, super glue, bam. She had titty just like real girl have now. And she want to scratch her balls, she just scratch her boob instead, real good.
Now, I'm finally free. For once, I feel like the real me. Thanks, Dr. Nguyen.
You're welcome, girlfriend.
Hey, can I have Robert's penis? I hate my nose.
Of course. Can't you see I'm so progressive? I'm eco-friendly and recycle everything, too. Just pay money. I do surgery for everyone who want to be happy. Just not poor people. I do everything. Just give me money.
Yeah, my nose never felt right on my face. Just always made me so self-conscious and gave me a lot of anxiety in public. I don't think I was meant to have it.
No problem. I got a trash bag full of penises. I cut off your nose and replaced it with penis. It looked great. I do anything you want. You want biracial breasts? One white, one black booby? Biracially progressive, too. Don't be conformist. Don't be conservative. Yuck! Be you! You want your eyes on your butt? You want me to take your toes and put them on your eyebrows? I'd do anything. I don't give a fuck. I'm the best surgeon in all La Jolla, all San Diego. Bring money. I make you the real you. Come see me, Dr. Nguyen. I'm a hero. I'm a fucking hero. I fix your identity and make you happy forever. Bring money.
Mention PodSpot in your consultation, and Dr. Nguyen will ensure your replacement penis or vagina is certified organic and disease-free. All right, let's talk about something else not exactly related to anything that's happening on the field. The Padres continue to do things that piss fans off. We've got a broadcast shakeup in the Heezy. So recently, well, we heard a couple weeks ago that Enberg had decided to retire after the 2016 season, so after next season. And then just recently we've heard that this guy Dan Orsillo is going to join the radio broadcast team, replacing
Scam.
I'm not exactly sure how this is going to work. Right? No, I'm screwing this up. I'm sorry. Orsillo is joining, is phasing out Dick Enberg. And he's going to be on TV.
Yeah, but he's also doing the radio.
But he's also going to do a little bit of radio.
And his name's Don.
And his name's Don Orsillo. So he's phasing out Enberg, eventually taking over for Enberg in 2017. And in 2016, doing radio and TV and replacing Scan. But I think Jesse Agler is going to be the main replacement for Scan.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
To go along with Ted. So Orsillo's kind of like doing both things until 2017, where he comes in full on the TV with Mark Grant, lest we fire him too, which would I would just become a Dodgers fan.
That's funny. A lot of people hate Mudcat.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. It's the same way I don't get how people hate Enberg, because he's like old and makes some mistakes.
Oh, dude, it was so it broke my heart, man. I heard an interview with Enberg where he, and just try and hear this in Enberg's voice, you know?
Yeah.
And he was saying, you know, and I know what people out there say, you know, and I know with my age, you know, as I've gotten older, I make mistakes here and there, you know, during a broadcast. And I acknowledge that and I understand that. And I just want to tell everybody I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that. And, you know, he basically apologized.
He didn't basically apologize. He gave a heartfelt, like, totally taking the blame. Like, yeah, he gave a heartfelt apology.
That broke my heart, man. And I thought, dude, every asshole who's ever given him shit about that should feel like shit.
Yeah, man. We don't take like hard stances on this show. But if you're a person who has publicly called out Dick Enberg or like tweeted at him for a mistake that he's made during a game, like you're a dick, man. You should really consider what you're doing with your life. We're so lucky as Padres fans to have had the broadcasters that we've had, and Dick Enberg doesn't have the history with the Padres that other people do, but as a San Diego icon and as a broadcasting icon, we're so lucky to have had him. It's amazing that people have a problem with the mistakes that he makes.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that's it's possible that I'm just gonna say it. It's possible that we're always gonna have losing teams for the rest of our lives, because that's just San Diego sports. But if there's one thing we can bank on, is that we're always gonna have good broadcasters, because it's San Diego. You know what I mean? Like this Orsillo guy who I've never listened to, but he's a big deal. Like he's apparently yeah. this was a good. Plenty of other cities and teams would be thrilled to have him, and we got him. I mean, the same way it's pretty when you think about it. Like we had Dick Enberg, and it's because you know dudes at that age. Although not that Orsillo's like in his like probably like in his mid 40s or so. The thought of moving to San Diego is
yeah right
at mm-hmm. that point of their lives is sounds like a great idea, and because of that I think that's something that we'll never have to worry about is having shitty broadcasters.
Orsillo sounds good, man. I've listened to and he's lighthearted. He's definitely got a comedic side to him. It's not overt like Mudcat. But he's got a sense of humor, and he knows how to play. He knows how to drag out a humorous angle, and he's got a classic voice. He's got a beautiful voice. So I think we're really gonna like him. Exactly, man. You know, the San Diego fan spin, at least from us, it's like, well, we're gonna have shitty players, but at least we'll have a beautiful voice painting the picture of those terrible teams,
and in a way that's I won't say it's almost as important. I mean, the joy that we get out of watching a ball game is for me at least is listening to Uncle Teddy or listening to Dick and Mudcat, you know. So losing season and all, at least we have some awesome narrators.
I agree. I mean, that's why those 20, you know, mid 2000 teams in the 2010, you know, was such an orgasmic experience because you had the combination of both. We've been hard on Jesse Agler in this show. I've come to the realization the last couple of days that I do think that he can get better. Like obviously, but I actually do think that I could come to like Jesse Agler, but as far as his voice and what it adds to the experience, but it is we are dealing baseball is entertainment, and I can tell you that when I experience a great Padres moment, whether it be a double or a home run or a great play, my entertainment, the entertainment that I gain from that experience is less when I hear Jesse Agler call that play or that moment. And again, I do think that he can get better, but just backing up what you said, Manny, like it really does matter. It is maybe as important, at least for me. So yeah, here's to putting lipstick on a pig.
But we've got one more year of Dick.
Yeah, we got there's a joke there. Yep, we sure do. Yeah, which is good. I wouldn't mind another year of Dick.
That's what she said.
All right, so any thoughts about Scan? Like, does that break your heart? Just before we move on to the last piece,
doesn't break my heart, but I like Scan.
Yeah, me too. He seems like a classy guy, but it doesn't break my heart either. I think he was a good combination with Leitner, but I think he's replaceable. I don't know what he did or what he wanted that they didn't want to give him, but I think he's replaceable. Like, nice guy, but replaceable.
Well, he scans the type, you know, what he brings to, he's like a Mudcat, like, you know, he's a guy who's, you know, he's been a pitcher. He can give much more thorough analysis on the actual play that's going on within the game, where say like a guy like Agler, that's not, you know, I guess Agler maybe has a better skill of telling a story, which maybe is what they're looking, because Scan being fired is being replaced by Jesse Agler, right?
Yeah, like most directly. Yeah, I think.
So, you know, so they're replacing a guy who has more actual game experience and expertise by a guy who just has more experience as a commentator. So I don't know what they're trying to do, but they don't care for a guy who can provide much more. Scan can provide much more intelligent insight onto what's going on throughout a game than Agler can.
I noticed that Scan, I agree with that, but I noticed that Scan left it open, like, and he did a Facebook like goodbye, and he said like, if this is the end, like there were several times in the message where it's like, this is possibly the end. So maybe I'd rather see Scan like take the Mark Sweeney role or something, like as the kind of like whatever the fuck Mark Sweeney is.
Like, go back to TV.
Yeah. Go back to TV and kind of be that. I'd like to see him stay around. I like him, and I think he'd do a better job at whatever it is that Sweeney is supposed to do. But
it does break my heart to see him go.
No, not really.
Yeah, he's no Midnight Johnny.
End the season, I think we need to address this lingering problem that we've been dealing with. At the beginning of the season, we were graced with the presence of our friend and colleague, Little Mo, and he was a great addition to the show. Although he didn't know much about the Padres, he certainly had a fantastic wit and a great presence here, but he's really let us down over the past few weeks. And Manny, can you explain what's kind of happened to Little Mo over the last few weeks?
Well, no, I don't know what's happened to Little Mo. What we do know is he can't seem to come on the show, despite the fact that we make an effort to work around him, right? Wouldn't you
yeah,
say?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we go, all right, so what time is works best for everybody? Little Mo, you know, we definitely, especially for this last one, for me, I saw him as a priority. Like, Little Mo has to be on the last episode.
He was throwing out ideas about what we were going to talk about.
Yeah. I feel like he's done that for the past, like, I don't know how many episodes. And then he's a no-show, which
and he even asked if we were doing it tonight.
Right. Yeah. And this is like a half an hour before we're supposed to go on. All of a sudden, it's just... it's just, I can't make it. No explanation.
It sounds like a secret drug addiction.
Well, we're going to, you know, we're going to play tough love on this one. I don't know about you guys, but I got no sympathy for that shit, you know? I'm voting for Trump.
So is he.
I know. So what are we going to do about this? After the last episode, we said, you know, Lil Mo, this is your last chance. If you don't, If you don't come through, you're gone. So let's hold a vote right now. Let's hold a vote. All of those in favor, we'll do it one by one. All of those in favor of firing Little Mo, say yay. If you'd like to give Little Mo a second chance and allow him back on for the second season, say nay. So, Yoshi, are you in favor of firing Little Mo, yay or nay?
Yay.
You didn't even have to think about that, did you?
Didn't hesitate.
Manny, are you in favor of firing Little Mo? Yay or nay?
I think just like with parenting, you know, you can't tell a kid that you can't threaten a kid with a punishment and then go back on it. So yay.
And I agree. That's the first lesson they teach you in teacher school is if you're going to threaten discipline, you need to follow through. So, Lil Mo, you had your chance. My vote is yay as well. And you know what that means. Vince McMahon, tell him what it means.
You're fired! Oh, my gosh! Take out the trash!
You know, the sad part about this is, like, we've had investors have been telling us about how they wanted to, you know, open up this new, you know, they want to create a network out of this, right? And they've been saying, like, and we can do, you know, we can set up Little Mo to do, you know, Bolting Up with Little Mo, have, you know, start up his own show. And, you know, at this point, you know, all those investors are going to, they're backing out now. They're saying, like, no, like, we can't count on... Like, what's is he doing? Is he on heroin? Like, what's going on?
No, literally, no. This is not, all joking aside, none of us know what's going on with Lil Mo. And yeah, you're disgracing us in front of the fans. You're making us look like a fool at the business table with the investors. So that's it, man. Just like Scan, just like Matty V, just like everybody, you're replaceable. And guess what? Tune in for season 2 if you want to know who exactly is going to replace you, motherfucker.
Life sucks, and then you die.
Thank you for joining us on season 1 of Pods Pod. We plan on touching base with you sometime during the off season. And we'll definitely be back, come spring training. It's been a disappointing season for the Padres and for us.
But we can guarantee this. When we come back next season, we're going to come back fully convinced that we're going all the way to 2016.
This was supposed to be the year. But we're Padres fans, and we were born to lose. We were born to revel in it. All I got to say is it's the weather. Oh, shit. Whoops. You got to cut that.
I don't know, man. I'm really considering leaving that.
Like the fog on the Cumberland River, I was leaving on the Delta Queen. I wasn't ready to go. I'm never ready to go. 27 years of nothing but failures and promises that I couldn't keep. Oh Lord, I wasn't ready to go. I'm never ready to go. Let it ride. Let it ride.
Pods, 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 pods.
Man, appreciate your broadcasters. Take care. Dude,
that's as easy as it can happen, man. You gotta that's some respect for those people. You know how scared I am.
You see this type of culture we live in, man. What they do to us.
If I was Scott Kaplan, I wouldn't have given a shit about that.
Putz 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 putz.
Again, thank you guys for those of you who have listened throughout the season, or maybe someone who's just joining us, or maybe I'm just pretending like people listen to this. But in any case, it's been a great season. It was fun for us, and we're gonna be back. Gonna be back. Gonna be back. Gonna be.